Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Jesus says, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God, the words of Jesus will never pass away. There's a lesson there for us, amen? God's word is what we hold to, man, because it never fades. It never passes away. We don't believe other books like the Quran or any other famous book. It's the Bible alone that is God's word because his words never fade away.
How often do you take time to see the signs of God and truly savor them in your life? What words of Jesus give you life and give you hope? Today, Pastor Michael will continue reading through the book of Luke, where Jesus teaches his disciples the parable of the fig tree. In it, he'll share some reassuring words in light of things yet to happen in this world. Jesus is coming back one day, but he's preparing you. You don't need to dread it. Look for the signs of the time as you wait in joyful anticipation. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of Luke chapter 21 as he continues his message, Happy New Day.
Truthfully, I'm not really sure why New Year's Day is just not that special to me. But as I was thinking about it this week, the more I thought about it, I came to the conclusion that I should celebrate newness every single day. Like, as believers in Jesus Christ, we sort of live in an attitude of renewal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us the very famous verse, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So if we're in Christ, like, everything is becoming new. We are new creatures. And all the things are becoming new. They're becoming new morning by morning, not just year by year, not just annually, but daily. That's what it says in the book of Lamentations. I was reading in the book of Lamentations. I know, like, who reads Lamentations, right? In the Old Testament. But in chapter 3 of Lamentations, it says this, verse 22, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I love that. His mercies are new every morning. Therefore, we don't die. We don't perish. I like that. You know, Jeremiah is just saying that the mercies of our Lord, they never end. That's an amazing concept. They never end. They're not just new annually. They are new every single morning, he says. And I got to tell you, man, I'm thankful about that. I really am. You know, I think the Lord knows that we need mornings. Like, every 24 hours, we need a new morning. Because in the 15 or 16 hours that I'm awake, I tend to mess things up royally. And by the end of 15 or 16 hours being awake, I need newness, man. I actually, you know what? I need to die. You know, that's what sleep is in a very real way, physiologically. When you go to sleep, we're told that your pulse slows down, your temperature actually drops, even your brain waves, I read, drastically change when you're sleeping. Because it's when you're sleeping that you are as close to death or as close to a death-inducing coma as possible without actually going into a coma. You lay down, and in a sense, now bear with me here, but in a sense, you die. Like, if you didn't wake up, you would be, in fact, in a coma until you did die physically. But what happens in the morning? Miraculously, something triggers off chemically in your body. You wake up and it is a new day. You get a fresh start. And let me tell you, dude, I am thankful for that because I mess it up just about daily. I need to just sort of die and wake up to a fresh, brand new start. And I think that's what Jeremiah is declaring here in Lamentations chapter 3 when he says, morning by morning, like each and every morning, I have the opportunity, you have the opportunity to experience new mercies with the Lord. I am so thankful that the Lord doesn't carry over our mistakes. I'm so thankful that the Lord doesn't keep a record of all of my previous sins, but rather morning by morning, we can see new mercy, a fresh start, a clean slate. Our sins are forgiven, and the Bible says that they are forgotten by the Lord when we confess them to Him. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And the weepy prophet Jeremiah finds in all of this mercies being new every single morning, he finds a cause to rejoice. He says, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. I love that. We don't perish because of His love, because His mercies never end. They're new every single morning. Great is Your faithfulness. That's what he says. God, You are so faithful to me. Thank You. I was recently reading in this history thing that I found that in November of the year 1724, there was a man by the name of Willem Mons, and he was publicly beheaded in Russia in the Red Square there in St. Petersburg. He was publicly killed, publicly beheaded. You see, Willem Mons was the alleged secret lover of a woman named Catherine, and Catherine was the wife of the Tsar at the time. The guy's name was Peter the Great. You probably heard of him, Peter the Great. So Catherine was allegedly having this affair with this guy, Willem Mons. And when Peter came back from war or whatever, he found out about it. And sort of out, you know, as a display of his power or whatever, he had Mons murdered. He had him beheaded. And then I read this, really strange. He had his head preserved in a large glass jar of formaldehyde or alcohol or something. And then Peter the Great had that head in the jar placed in Catherine's bedroom. Like, he wanted to teach her a lesson. Like, every morning he wanted her to wake up and look at that head. Every morning he wanted her to wake up and be reminded of her sin, of her infidelity, in a sense. Totally and completely gruesome, I know. But as I saw that story, and as crazy as that story is, I was just so thankful that that's not at all like what our Father, what our Lord, what our friend God does. The Lord, who's called a friend of sinners, the Lord says, I will forgive their sin and I will remember it no more. Like, literally, I will never again remember their sin. Like, our sins aren't just forgiven, they're forgotten. They're forgotten. That's amazing to me. And that is really good news, right? Actually, for me personally, it's great news. Every morning, I can wake up and I can come back from the dead, in a sense, and just simply say, yes, thank You, God. Your mercies are new every single morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses me and I am free. New mercies today. God doesn't pickle my sins in a jar, make me look at them every single morning. He doesn't do that. He says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. As far as the east is from the west, dude, that's how far I took away your sins from you. I'll remember them no more. In the Old Testament book, I think it's in Micah, he says, I will literally cast your sin into the deepest part of the sea, the deepest part of the ocean. So for us believers, it's not just new years, it's new days. New days. Every day, it's a new beginning. We've been living in some crazy, crazy days recently. This past year has been full of some of the craziest days probably any of us have ever experienced in our lifetimes. As Christians, though, we can, and hopefully we have, been taking hope in the Lord, that in the midst of these crazy times, Jesus is still King. Jesus is still in control. He's sovereign. And Jesus is coming very, very soon, which is sort of what I want to talk about in Luke chapter 21 today, because last week we started chapter 21 and we discussed how at the beginning, those first four verses of chapter 21, we read how Jesus pointed out a poor widow who had given all that she had to the Lord, right? She put those two coins in the treasury at the temple. And so we talked about that. So let's start in verse 5 of chapter 21, where it says this. As some were talking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "These things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left on another that will not be thrown down." You see, when Jesus had mentioned that the poor widow had given more, that caused some of them to think, and they began to remark, you know, like, "Jesus, but look at how awesome this temple is, dude. Like, it's awesome. It's beautiful. It's got lots of expensive stuff in here, beautiful stones, the ceilings inlaid with gold and all this stuff." And because they said that right after he told that story, the inference is that the lady's pitiful two coins didn't really amount to much in regards to maintaining this incredible structure called the temple. In other words, they're bringing it up because they weren't getting Jesus's point. Jesus was trying to talk about how she kept nothing for herself and gave everything. And their thoughts are, dude, what she gave is nothing. Like, there's no way her two little pennies or whatever contributed to how glorious and awesome the temple of the Lord is. Look at the beautiful stones and how beautiful it is. And so Jesus realizes they aren't getting what I'm trying to say here. And so he begins this incredible discourse. And Jesus spends really the rest of chapter 21 explaining to them how the stuff of this world, it just isn't gonna last. It's not about the material things, even the beautiful temple in and of itself, the temple in all of its beauty. Jesus said, the temple is actually, it's gonna be totally torn down, like not even one stone on top of each other, which, by the way, that is exactly what happened in history. 40 years after Jesus said these words, 40 years, about the year AD 70, there was a Roman siege on the city of Jerusalem, okay? And that resulted in a lot of people dying, and it resulted in the burning of the temple. And what happened when the temple burned down, it caused all of the gold inside of the temple to melt. And it melted and kind of ran down into the cracks of these huge stones of the temple. And so after that had cooled, the soldiers came in and they literally pulled down every single stone to get the hardened gold that had melted down into the rocks. So literally they pulled the rocks, they crushed them and took the gold out. It happened exactly like Jesus prophesied here. And he's saying, listen, you can't be thinking about material stuff. Don't even think about this thing. This temple's awesome, but it's not gonna last, dude. It's literally gonna be torn down like Jesus was prophesying, and it totally came true. Let me keep going. Let's read, starting at verse 7. I'm gonna read a lot of scripture here, so bear with me. "Teacher," they asked him, "so when will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And then Jesus said, "Watch out that you're not deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. Indeed, it is necessary that these things take place first, but the end won't come right away." And then he told them, "Nation will be raised up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be violent earthquakes and famines and plagues in various places, and there will be terrifying sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name." Because of my name. Verse 13, "This will give you an opportunity to bear witness. Therefore, make up your minds not to prepare your defense ahead of time, for I'll give you such words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will even be betrayed by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. They will kill some of you. You'll be hated by everyone because of my name, but not a hair of your head will be lost. By your endurance, gain your lives. Okay, just some encouraging words here from Jesus, man. Bad stuff's going to be happening. Some of you are even going to die, but you're going to gain life, like real life, when you endure all this stuff. And so this is some, again, prophetic stuff. We'll talk about more about it in a minute. Verse 20, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that its desolation has come near. And then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. Those inside the city must leave it. And those who are in the country must not enter it, because these are days of vengeance to fulfill all the things that are written. Woe to pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They'll be killed by the sword and be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And then there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. There will be anguish on the earth among nations, bewildered by the roaring of the sea and the waves. That word bewildered in the Greek is sort of interesting. I'm not going to take a lot of time to go into a lot of this prophetic stuff, but I will tell you that the word bewildered in the Greek, it basically means no way out. Like literally, Jesus is saying that natural disasters and stuff's going to happen, and people are going to be so afraid, they're not going to see any other way out. They're not going to see any solution whatsoever, okay? So he says they're bewildered. Verse 26, people will faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming on the world, because the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. Whew. So obviously there's a lot going on here. Much of what Jesus has said is prophetic. And it has to do with the Jews. It has to do with Israel and the area of Jerusalem specifically. And again, we could spend a lot of time talking about all of this stuff here, about how much this meant to those people back then, how much of what Jesus was saying here already has come true. In our lifetime, what he said here was prophetic for the future, but a lot of it's already come true. You start reading history about Titus and Caesar Nero and different things like that, and you see that a lot of this stuff has already happened. And Jesus was just very clearly foreshadowing what was to happen to these specific people. But the truth is, there's also much in this chapter, Luke 21, that also points to future events concerning us, concerning the end times. And, you know, he talks about wars. He talks about natural disasters. He even talks a little bit about the coming of a deceiving one. We would call the Antichrist, or the Bible calls him the Antichrist. He talks a little bit about the rapture of the saints when we get caught up with the Lord. He talks about all kinds of persecutions that are going to be coming and things like that. So even though much of it related to where these people listening to him in Jesus' day were going in that time, much of it relates to us as well. Let's keep going here. Verse 29. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put out leaves, you can see for yourselves and recognize that summer is already near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I love that. Reminds me of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, that says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Jesus says, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God, the words of Jesus will never pass away. There's a lesson there for us, amen? God's word is what we hold to, man, because it never fades. It never passes away. We don't believe other books like the Quran or any other famous book. It's the Bible alone that is God's word, because his words never fade away. Verse 34 says, be on your guard so that your minds are not dulled from carousing, drunkenness, and worries of this life, or that day will come on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come on all who live on the face of the whole earth. But be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. During the day, he was teaching in the temple, but in the evening, he would go out and spend the night on what is called the Mount of Olives. And then all the people would come early in the morning to hear him in the temple. Jesus ends all of this talk about the end times by saying, be on your guard, be alert, pray for strength during these times. The dark times that are coming, pray that God would strengthen you, that you'll be able to make it through those times. Although the days that are coming, or maybe even the days that we're living in now, are crazy, that they're dark or whatever, if you are a Christian, man, if you are found in Christ, these days, truthfully, are really awesome days to be alive. These are great days for you and I to live for Jesus. You know, they say a little teeny light can shine very, very bright the darker that it is. Like, you and I, we get to be alive during these times. We get to shine for the Master in the smack dab in the middle of these dark times. We get that privilege. We have been chosen to live for such a time as this. You know, we can so easily be sucked into the cares of this life and bogged down by the things of this world. But when we take the time, when we study the words of Jesus, we're reminded of the big picture all over again. Every time we look at God's words, and that's what he's doing. Think about the big picture. Don't get so caught up in the darkness around you. Think about the big picture. Because when we study his words, man, we're reminded that we're only here for a short time. That's the truth. We're only here for a short time. Jesus wants to remind us of eternity. Like every single believer who's hurting physically or emotionally, every single Christian who is struggling financially perhaps right now, the good news is that you will absolutely be healed. You'll absolutely be freed in an incredible way. Now, it might be today. It could be on New Year's Eve. It might not be until we all get to heaven. But God's promises to you, God's promise to me, they will be kept perfectly if we don't lose sight of the big picture. I love the last verse here of Luke chapter 21. The very last verse says, then all the people would come early in the morning to hear him in the temple. I like that this passage on the end times or whatever ends with that verse. Because I think you and me, we got to be like the folks in this text. We must be those that spend time, like consistent time with Jesus in this new year. They come early in the morning to hear him. I love that. If you and I would do that this next year, if we'd make a commitment to spend time with Jesus consistently, early in the morning or whatever, we're going to find that his mercies are new every single morning. We're going to be able to say, along with the weeping prophet Jeremiah, we're going to say, great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness. We're going to find hope in the midst of these dark times. It's in his presence that we find hope. And we're going to be reminded daily that this world is not our home. It's not our home, gang. So I'm not going to say Happy New Year's. Instead, I'm going to say Happy New Day, everybody. Day by day, morning by morning, we live for him, we seek his face, and we find our strength renewed, our hope renewed, and our joy renewed as we wake up every morning to his mercy, to his faithfulness, to his goodness, and to the reminder that, hey, this world, whether it's great, whether it's not great, regardless, man, it's not our home. We got another home in heaven with the Master, with the love of our life, Jesus Christ. I love you guys, okay? Happy New Day to you.
As a follower of Jesus, you can appreciate that he's a personal God who cares about you as an individual. You might be realizing, as Pastor Michael goes through the book of Luke, that Jesus was very personal and cared about each person, regardless of their past. While other religions claim a God or an idol to pray to, Jesus came to earth and became human so he could show compassion and care for people firsthand. That's the type of God anyone would want to know and be known by. Do you know God in a personal way? If you're unsure how to answer that and might feel like there's a missing piece to the puzzle, we encourage you to head over to our website to find some helpful information along the way. Go to thealpinechapel.com and look under our menu for Something Missing. There, you should be able to get some of those questions you might have answered. More than anything, God wants a personal relationship with you, and the book of Luke displays his heart for that over and over again. We're so glad we were able to spend time with you today on Burning Hearts, the radio ministry of the Alpine Chapel. If you missed any part of today's message or would like to explore other teachings from the Bible, visit thealpinechapel.com today. While you're there, find out how you can join us in person for church this weekend. We're meeting Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. You can get directions and all the information you need at thealpinechapel.com. Be sure to join us next time for another edition of Burning Hearts.